Hey, Carla, that's you, listener. Welcome to Just Because I Love You Day, a weekly gathering of four sisters and their 11 kids and counting. Today, we're doing another blind react episode, which is where all of us share random quotes or memes we've found on social media, and we just kind of talk about whether we agree or disagree with them. So jump into the conversation, and we hope you enjoy.
Everybody else around them.
Okay. I'm not in groups. We are I don't post live enough, and people don't like me.
Is that what we're blind reacting to right now?
Yes. Why does everybody like Marla blind
more than me?
We are really pushing it because we already recorded 30 minutes and our kids let us do it. And who even knows if we're going to get away with another episode right now?
This Megan needs to ask her question.
I do have a question.
Megan has a question about the last episode we just recorded.
So this isn't a meme or anything, but I'm noticing this being a trend with a lot of my friends, and it's about venting. So how would you respond if somebody was venting to you and they're talking, and then they wrap it up by saying, I don't need you to fix it, I just need you to listen?
Did we not talk about the nail in the head on the Momcast before?
Yeah, I think we've done it on a podcast.
Wait, did we? I know you showed it to us.
Oh my goodness.
But I don't know if we talked about it.
It's not about the nail.
Because it's always talking. It's talking, and it's like they wrap it up with that, and it's usually like Marco Polo's, because you don't even realize how long you're talking on that darn app. And you're just like, okay, then why did I listen to it? Like, if you don't want my opinion, if you don't want me to, you know, quote unquote, fix it, like, honestly, I would have skipped your video. Like, if you just needed to talk it out, then that's fine. Like, okay, you're going through something hard. I don't need the details. Because then it does kind of start, I don't know, it gets integrated with gossip real fast, too.
I think they do want opinions. They don't want your opinion.
Oh, is that it? They're like, I don't want you to fix that. I want you to tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Right.
Is that what they're actually
right.
saying?
What they mean is, I really want to talk about this. I know that there's something wrong. I think they do kind of know it's them as well, but they don't want you to point that out because that hurts. It doesn't feel good. They just want you to, like, can we just make me feel better without me having to actually fix anything about myself? Don't fix me. Just somehow either make it somebody else's problem or tell me nice things. That's what they mean.
Yeah, but like they always say, oh, I feel so much better after like just getting it out and off my chest. But I'm like,
do they?
I don't know. That's usually what I'm told.
I would just say, would you like me to buy you a journal?
Damn, Marla.
Again, why do they like Marla more than me?
I was just about to say that. How is Marla more likable?
You see what you get, what you see what you get.
Okay,
that's
no, but for
second
real.
Quip that Marla has made me go home.
No, but
the
seriously,
week.
There's been so many times where all I needed to do was write the angry email to the coworker who was rude and mean to me. And that was all I needed to do to get it out of my system. I didn't need to go tell 1,000 people about it to get affirmed. I just needed to get the emotions out there.
And then you sent it or deleted it?
Oh, delete, of course.
Marla's fired.
And you
everyone.
Don't dare put anything. You don't dare even put their email address in there because you never know. You might accidentally send it. But I've done that a lot in the workplace where I was just like, I typed out the angry thing first. And then I took a deep breath and I was like, okay, now let's think logically.
It either goes
how can I reply in a better way?
I do want to talk it out, but I typically come usually to Mandy and I say, I know that I'm not thinking about this properly. Like I want to word vomit and vent the situation because I'm looking for you to go, okay, Tabby, here's what you need to fix. Here's why this feels weird or maybe you don't need to do anything depending on the situation. But again, it's coming with the idea of, all right, I know that I'm kind of in the wrong here. I don't know what to do. Right. Or I do exactly what Marla does, but I have talked about it to Joe. And by the end of the conversation, I go, okay, I see where I'm in the wrong here. And here's what I actually need to do. And
right.
And I don't need him to fix it, but it's because I've come to a conclusion myself.
If nothing needs fixed, then there's no point in talking because talking won't fix it either. There's nothing to fix. And so, yeah, it's absolutely self-refuting if you get to the end of a long tirade and you're like, and I don't need you to fix it. Because yeah, actually what you did need was somebody to stand there and listen. At the very least, if we agree that venting is a healthy coping mechanism, and I don't. But let's say we do agree, you do still need that person to sit there and hold space for you, as they say,
for a minute.
They, you know, to bounce things off of, as they say. And so, yeah, in that respect, you are helping to fix it if that's what the person needed.
I'll give an example then, because this literally just happened. And Marla sent me a polo a while ago saying, would you like some baby clothes? And I, it took me a minute and I got on and I think I was okay, but I was very stressed and a little bit angry and was like, I do not need any more baby clothes. And so after I got off, I went on this large rant about, I was like, I have so many baby clothes and yada, yada, yada. And I am so stressed. It's such a big project. Why is she asking me? And by the end of it, I was like, this is ridiculous. I know that she did not mean it that way. I know that I am 100% in the wrong. And my poor husband was literally sitting on the couch, just kind of like nodding as I'm going through this whole process. And I finally went, okay, I need to get back on and at least thank her because I forgot to do that while I was so angry. And so I got on and was like, and by the way, thank you. And that was the fix it though, was he didn't really even say anything. He just kind of watched me go from like super stressed and angry to being like, why am I angry at Marla? That's not right. She wants to just be helpful. So I don't know if I totally disagree that venting isn't helpful, because I got to the right conclusion, which is it's not Marla. She should be thanked because she's trying to be generous. I'm the turd.
I guess I should define venting too in that case, because what I think is usually meant by venting is not just you don't have anything to say, but you're not allowed to reply to me. Let me talk and don't reply at all. And in that case, like if you're already putting stipulations on it, like I'm not going to let you say anything, then that can't be good. Marla and Megan both left.
Goodbye.
And somebody's tooting a squeaky horn in the kitchen.
We knew that this was not going to be as perfect as our first.
That first episode, man, was so peaceful.
So quiet.
Well, I wanted to say that what you just said, Mandy, is very similar to the blind react in our last episode, where it was like, I'm allowed to post whatever I want and you're following me, so you have to hear it, but I don't have to hear what you have to say.
Unfollow.
And it's like, like we said, go listen to it if you didn't listen to it, Carla, but no, you do, because you're following that person. You're allowed to give your opinions on the matter.
Yep. So, that would immediately make me unfollow you. If anybody I followed was like, listen up guys, I'm going to do all the talking, and if you comment, then you're gross. It's like, oh, well, I don't want anything to do with you.
Thanks for the warning. Goodbye. Yeah.
I might continue to follow him just so I could like screenshot their stuff and be like, look at this.
Oh my goodness.
A lot of people I follow, it's only because they say the most ridiculous stuff. And I'm so, like, yep, we're commenting about that.
There's actually a way around people who do not allow comments, because this was such a huge problem in like the blogosphere for a long time, where they would close comments or they'd only allow their friends to comment, and they'd put you in what's called moderation. And the administrator of a blog, the person who's the blog author, can decide just randomly, this person's not allowed to comment, this person's not allowed to comment. So they become these echo chambers of agreement. And so
it happens on TikTok lives.
Oh yeah, for sure. And so one of the things that they came up with a while back is dissenter, which is a subgroup of the website Gab. Uh-oh, more.
It might be mine. I'll be right back.
Doorbell usage while babies are sleeping. Oh my goodness. So anyway, Dissenter allows you to take screenshots of the website where you're not allowed to comment, and then create a new place on the internet where you can have a comment thread dedicated to and linking back to.
Essentially a subtweet-ish.
Right, essentially. But it's a place where you actually get to link to the original post. So
like a loophole, we love it.
Right, loophole. And people, it would drive them crazy to know that like, I'm trying to control what you react here. Like, I'm trying to control what you have to say about what I posted. And I've already banned you from my website, but now you went off and created another place where you can reply. And it's just really funny. I have a special place in my heart for like trolling and like petty loopholes, like you said. So I also cracked up when Shia LaBeouf was trying to create that live stream that was supposed to go for the solid 4 years of Trump's presidency, and it got infiltrated by conservatives who were like pro-Trump, and so he moved the camera. It was a webcam that was supposed to stay in the same place for all 4 years as a sign of unity, where we could all come together and It was okay. It was performance art, and it was called "He Will Not Divide Us." That's what makes it so funny.
My.
It's called "He Will Not Divide Us," and everybody was like chanting "He Will Not Divide Us" for the first few days. But then conservatives started getting in front of the live stream and broadcasting like pro-Trump stuff from that webcam, and so Shia started hiding the webcam so that people couldn't find it, and he kept moving it to different places, and conservatives on 4chan were like finding it. It was like a
That's
game.
So fun. I love it.
It was hilarious. It's so juvenile and so petty.
Oh gosh.
And so finally he moved it to a place where the only thing you could see was this American flag up on, no, not American. Was it Black Lives Matter flag? I don't remember what it was. But it was like a flagpole. That was all you could see. And the camera was tilted up to look at the flag, and it was hidden and nobody was supposed to know where it was. And 4chan started looking at flight patterns that were over the flagpole. I kid you not, you guys.
They found it. That's genius.
What they did was they looked at the flight patterns.
So much respect.
They kind of
humans.
Oh yeah.
They triangulated to find out like where general vicinity it was in, and then they went out with a truck and started honking their horns, and somebody with a phone was letting them know, and they could hear it.
No. Pure genius.
Wow. That we will put our brains to.
So,
I love it.
I mean, that's censorship. What he's doing was censorship.
Right. But you can go look at it, and it's so hysterical because all you can see is suddenly like the flag comes down and this Trump flag goes up.
Like, shut up.
Flag?
Yes. Oh my goodness.
And it's just so dumb. And I didn't even vote for Trump that first year. And I just still think it's so funny. So I'm telling that story because I always have laughed at like that type of pettiness.
Funny. Well, because again, like humans are supposed to be the smartest things around. And this, when we really band together, when we really put our minds to it, this is the stuff that we do.
Teamwork.
Yeah, Shia, like, you will not divide us.
You will not censor us.
Oh, and there's so many stories like that where it's like, oh yeah, well you thought, and like people will put time, money. I mean, the whole stock market thing.
Yeah.
When they bumped GameStop, same kind of principle where it's like, you thought, don't underestimate.
I don't know what happened with GameStop.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
Oh, stock went up and
I don't remember what the actual financial term is, but the big guys, the big wigs were basically going to make tons of money by purposely tanking GameStop. Oh. And people on like 4chan and Reddit got whiff of this. I mean, it was everywhere. Like even iFunny meme websites.
Yeah.
And so all these like, you know, underdogs basically came in and just kept buying shares of GameStop, and it just went up and up and up and up, and all these, you know, big companies were losing money because it was supposed to tank, and
they lost again, millions.
Yeah, there's somebody with a financial millions. Background could
have
explain
we ever
it better,
talked but. About the whales that were going to be named by the internet?
This is my favorite Reddit story of all time.
I don't know this story.
Marla doesn't know the Reddit
story.
Oh, Marla. Same energy.
Another, let me set down the microphone here.
Another story about unity, about beautiful teamwork, right?
Petty unity.
So was it, it was a place in Japan where they're like, it's a wildlife preservation organization. And I can't remember if it was the government or like a nonprofit, but they were trying to raise funds and awareness for whales, killer whales, orcas.
They have a big whaling population.
So they were going to save the orcas by tagging like four of them or something. And then they were going to give the internet the opportunity to name them so that they could feel invested. Oh, so they had a poll. So they put it out on the internet, and they have a multiple choice of like, you can name this whale Ohana. This is just an example. There were like three Japanese words and a Hawaiian word. And they meant like freedom or like beauty or something like that.
Ocean, I think, was one of them.
Ocean?
Yeah.
I don't remember all the options because the only one that matters was letter D that they put up for a joke, which was Mr. Splashy Pants. Apparently it was their first day ever online.
Weird.
Because they're like, oh no, this is winning by a landslide. Everybody wants to name our beautiful sea creature Mr. Splashy Pants. We cannot let this happen. So they did something where they like extended the voting a couple of days thinking that would change the results, and Reddit was involved. Like, it was the Reddit community that was letting everybody know you can go and vote for this. And so, so they told their followers, look, they're trying to mess with our results, right? Mr. Splashy Pants won legitimately. This is a matter of justice, people. Yeah. They're trying to skew the results. And so they changed the Reddit logo to a splashy, Mr. Splashy logo, like a whale.
But I thought he was
like, no, wait. Oh. That came after. Okay. They kept changing the deadline to try to make it so that Mr. Splashy Pants wouldn't win. And so Reddit changed their logo to a Splashy Pants with a big old muscular arm.
Like Rosie the Riveter.
They called it a fighting splashy. Fighting splashy. So eventually, obviously, long story short, they ended up naming the whale Mr. Splashy Pants. And it was a TED Talk that I saw. And the whole purpose was to show that when people band together, even if it's for a silly cause, mm-hmm. you know, we can get some stuff done. And so keep that in mind when it's an important cause, right. That there is something to be said about working together and caring about something as a group. Mm. So.
I like it. Oh, do you want me to say another?
Do you have another blind rant?
I've got them.
I mean, we've already talked about Mr. Splashy Pants. I don't know where we can go from here.
No, it's only going to go downhill at this point. Sorry, Carla.
So here's one. The most convincing sign that someone genuinely cares for you is that they seek to understand you. Samantha Jo Gabbardi, whoever that is.
On the same vibe, I sent you guys one that
Gabby,
said...
What? You're like 7 feet away from the microphone.
Teddy, okay. I am always yelled at on the podcast.
Don't you just do it. All
right. Same vibe. I sent you guys one that said the loudest way to love somebody is to just let them be who they truly are.
A woman?
No.
A man?
That's not who they truly are.
Binary? Both? All of them? Nothing?
Again, along those lines.
How are you the most liked sister?
Our dad on Facebook recently...
She's got a great athletic...
Because it's Pride Month. Our dad on Facebook recently posted something along the lines of, my truth is that I'm a horrible creature. And I don't deserve to live. So, here it is. My authentic self is ugly, weak, and worthless. I do not deserve respect. I don't deserve love. I should never have been born. This is my truth. Affirm it.
Was this the one about the dad who made the swimming suit for the girl, or I get so confused with this transgender stuff. I'll be honest.
It was related to it. It wasn't the same post. He also posted,
cause I liked
a today.com article that said, see the swimwear for trans girls designed by a loving dad.
Oh yes.
It's basically
that's the one.
Female swimsuits that are designed to make room for male parts.
Right.
Because
so just extra fabric.
The guy has a son who wants to wear a girl's swimsuit.
Probably like a swim skirt or something attached to it as well.
So what he had written was,
because men wear Speedos.
As a father of 4 kids, 2 boys and 2 girls, I've heard a lot of crazy stuff come out of the mouths of children. To properly parent those young lunatics, I became an expert at denial. Oh, how I denied. I denied my children's realities. I negated their true feelings. I told them they were wrong. I told them they were foolish kids who didn't have a clue what they were talking about. And I did it on a regular basis. When my 3-year-old got down on his hands and knees and purred like a kitten in our living room, I would pat his head and say, nice kitty. But at no point did I even think about redesigning a litter box to help him feel more comfortable in his new identity. And he was told it was unacceptable to crawl around on the floor at the grocery store pretending to be a cat. It was fine to pretend at home, but I forced him to modify his behavior in public. And when we're not at home, we need to think about other people. I taught him he doesn't occupy the center of the universe. I taught him his feelings were sometimes... often inappropriate and misguided. And my greatest acts of love were telling my kids they were wrong. It created a safe environment where they were free to explore and experiment and grow, knowing I was monitoring their boundaries so nothing terrible would happen. They knew I was standing guard to say, that's far enough, come back, don't cross that line again. And it goes on from there about the transgender thing and how you have to have boundaries. So the idea that the greatest act of love is to have no boundaries is just
silliness.
Just silly. It's false.
Yeah.
So
Tim, last night, was it last night? Yeah, Tim and I, my husband, were having a conversation about basically a something similar to this, where you just have to ask people and find out their story and understand where they're feeling and, you know, where they're coming from. And I said, yeah, but feelings are not always legitimate and feelings come and go. And so just because somebody feels this way in the moment doesn't mean that it's not going to change. But when you press in too much to your feelings and you start letting them control you and what you're doing, and you build yourself a litter box, and you just start making yourself be this certain way, it's like, there's a problem with that. So when you're trying to understand people, it's one thing to listen, but you still have to call out the lies and the truth. You still have to identify the difference.
There is so many stories, and I know I've talked about this before, of teens, they're still in their teens, who are detransitioning. They mm-hmm. transitioned early on. Now they're trying to detransition. And a lot of the narrative is they're almost wishing. They're like, I wish that somebody had told me to wait. I wish that somebody had told me to think about this. I wish basically somebody had told me no. I wish somebody had loved me enough to say,
you mean the truth?
Yeah, we're not going to do that, because now they have like irreversible damage done to some of them, especially if they did it early.
Well, and they did the hormones and all that. Like, yes. You can't reverse that.
Yeah, I haven't seen as many men detransitioning from women, because I don't know if they're just not being recommended to me, but it is a lot of women who tried to transition to become male and now they're trying to detransition. And their biggest regret is that their voices sound crazy.
Yeah,
now
they sound like smokers / bodybuilders.
Yeah, like really deep. I mean, I always joke that I have a deep voice, but these are obviously deep voices. And a lot of them lament that like they can't sing like they used to, and they, you know, that everything else is starting to kind of go back to normal, but like none of their secondary sex characteristics are returning that well. Some of them still have like Adam's apples. And
so to juxtapose with that statement, there's Aria at the table. To juxtapose that statement that Marla just read, here's the money phrase or the money sentence from Dad's post. He said, the quote, loving parents who encourage their children to equate feelings with reality aren't loving at all. So person who pretends to be loving, but they're encouraging children to equate feelings with reality, aren't loving at all, not even a little bit. They've abandoned their children to a lifetime of chaos. Parents who let kids follow their feelings are monsters. And those are some strong words, but we don't think of it in those terms. A lot of times we see something on Instagram with a really pretty background and we just internalize it. We just normalize it without even thinking for a second.
I like pink. That must be nice.
It makes me feel good. Like on mm-hmm. surface level reading, knee-jerk reaction is, wow, that feels like it's probably right. And then we start sharing it. And now we have to defend it because we said it. You know, we agreed with it publicly. And so it felt good. And we want others to feel good when they read it too. And we're spreading all of this monstrous ideology that actually is chaotic and causing damage to our kids.
So somebody had shared something the other day. As we know, Carla, I am a car seat Nazi. We've talked about that a few times. I've had to eat my words a few times as well. But one of my friends had shared something. She boats frequently. She has a child. She always puts him in what are they called? Safety vest?
Life jacket.
Oh my word. Whatever it's called.
She looked to me the pregnant
one.
I'm clearly
not on a boat ever. Anyways, she was saying like, even if they don't like it, you need to put them in the life vest because you know, your boat could get hit and you could get knocked unconscious and your plans of just rescuing your child who's been flung from a boat who can't swim aren't going to work if you're unconscious. And I thought, this is really indicative of life, because some would say, well, he doesn't want to wear the life vest, so I don't want to make him do that. Or he doesn't like the car seat, so I'm going to make sure it's loose and not buckled. And it's like, well, you're really adding the opportunity for your child to be killed or like seriously injured or ruining their life. And I think people have to start realizing that giving into your child's feelings or the things that they want or don't want, even though it's not in their best interest, you are doing way more harm. And that's exactly what your dad is saying. You're doing more harm than good. You may think you are, but if that's the easier thing, if the easier thing is to let them do what they want, that right there should be an indicator, because parenting isn't supposed to be easy. It's difficult. You can't just let them have whatever they want all the time.
Oh, that's difficult too. Oh my gosh. If I was still having like daily battles with Marcy over the same stuff that we were dealing with when she was 18 months, like I used to wake up and be like, I just don't, like, she's not enjoyable to be around. And then when we started getting serious about like obedience and discipline and all that kind of stuff, and no, Marcy, you're not in charge. Actually, she became way more pleasant. And parenting was, in a sense, a little bit easier. It wasn't, not that I'm still not, you know, doing the hard thing, quote unquote. But yeah, I mean, giving in to your kid and affirming feelings all the time is way more work, in my opinion. Yeah. If you're really trying to do it easier.
I don't know. I don't know how to help people understand. Yeah, if you're trying to gauge what's right and wrong based on how it's feeling, sometimes it feels like it's a good day. Other times it feels like it's not a great day. And that's why I just don't go with the feelings gauge at all. I just don't think it's reliable to be like, oh, I'm on the right track right now. I'm on the right path as a parent, because either it feels good or it feels bad. There are some martyrs.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, no matter what, I just am going to do things really, really hard. And sometimes that can lead you astray too, because it's subjective. And so you need to have something more foundational and more concrete than that. And occasionally your children will surprise you by wanting to cooperate, or feeling like going to church maybe, or, you know, enjoying Bible reading time.
They want to put on their life vest.
Yeah. I mean, that could happen sometimes. Sometimes they'll surprise you by playing during our podcast recording and not having too much issue.
Wait, everybody, listen. Wow. That's crickets. Amazing.
Other than Aria standing up under the table, is that going to come? But
she's happy.
So yeah, you have to come up with a standard or a set of rules, I guess, for lack of a better term, that's apart from your feelings and apart from who you think you are. What, I don't even remember what the quote was now. I love whoever I want to be. You have to, the ultimate act of love is to let a person be whoever they want
to
be.
Mine was the loudest way to love somebody was to let them be their truest selves.
This one is like, loving people is understanding them.
Okay.
Something along those lines. There's so many definitions of what loving people looks like now.
Well,
I can't keep up.
Yeah,
I'm done loving.
I'm exhausted.
Today on the radio, I think it was like K-Love or something, they were talking about how to deal with people who are mean. And I was like, well, first, I just wanted to call in and be like, well, first we need to discuss what is mean.
Right.
What does mean even look like?
Yep.
Because mean to me isn't mean. It's really hard for you to be mean to me, because I'm really confident in my thoughts.
Did she hug her to death again?
She did.
Aria loves Finley.
Very much. They're
that's so
the
funny. We
best.
Were just talking about mean people. I thought you were in the room, but I was like, that's it. I'm going to go out and try to find anybody who's ever been called mean on social media. And those are the people I think I want as my friends.
Or at least interview.
Yeah. Sure. They have to go through a process.
I'm going to need some details about the situation, but let's just start with calling all mean people. Mm-hmm. Because what I don't want is less judgment, less thought, less care.
More pink flower backgrounds.
More encouragement. Just love.
Let's encourage.
We've got like a minute and a half.
Wow. Let's do a third. Us.
Sheesh, we are truly
crazy.
I've got some more good ones.
All right.
Our editor's like, no more.
Well, I can edit it.
Actually, my son will definitely be waking up soon. And Marcy, at this rate, might not even get a nap. But
okay. Well, do we have any closing thoughts, Megan?
Megan's only had like 3 hours of sleep, so she's very quiet.
Megan, quick. First thing that pops in your mind. Go. First word. Go.
Biscuits. You can't do that to me.
Biscuits do sound good.
I think we should do that more often.
Quick, Megan, you're not paying attention.
If Megan hasn't said anything, we'll just be like, quick, first word that pops in your brain, go.
No. We'll give her a math problem.
Biscuits.
7 + 8.
Oh my gosh. Perfect. All right.
Ian. Bye, Carla.
That really chaps my biscuits.
Go make some biscuits, Carla.
Thanks for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can find us on Facebook when you search Just Because I Love You podcast, or on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling, and on Instagram as Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.